when you get more education, when I go to graduate school, I used to convince myself that every day I'm adding value to myself.
Welcome back to This Person I Met. My name is Kayla, and I'm the host of this podcast.
There are more similarities between an electrician and a professor of mechanical engineering than you may think. In our interview, Solomon Adara told me of his parents' lack of education and how their lack would inspire him to take advantage of any opportunity to learn and use it as a tool to climb upwards, even going as far as to get a postdoctoral degree from Harvard. Solomon's love of mechanical engineering didn't start when he graduated with a PhD from MIT, pursuing a level of education greater than both of his parents combined, nor did it start when he first stepped foot into a school building. Instead, it started with his dad, a humble electrician pushing him to see education as a tool, and it continues through his legacy and mentorship that he offers as gratitude for having the chance to learn.
My name is Solomon Adara. I am an assistant professor in mechanical engineering at the University of Michigan. I teach heat transfer and fluid mechanics courses.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit about your upbringing and how you grew up?
I grew up in a household where both my mom and my dad, they encourage us to do well in school. Part of that is because my dad, he always wanted to go to college, mm-hmm. but his parents were not in a position to send him to college. They couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. So he always regretted the fact that he didn't go to college. So for him, it was very important for us, the kids, to go to college. So they really emphasized at a very young age. So for me, growing up, there is not even an option to. I know that I'm going to go to college. And he played a heavy role in terms of our performance in school when we were young kids and even in high school and going forward.
Mm-hmm. So you'd say that your dad was a really big influence on your life?
He was a very big influence in my life, in my other brothers as well.
Mm-hmm. Were there any experiences in your childhood that led you to your interest in your current field?
Again, that goes back to my dad as well. So my dad, by profession, he's an electrician. Mm-hmm. So he, in residential buildings and office buildings, he do the electricity, the installation. And so he had an opportunity. He used to work with mechanical engineers. So he used to work with them. He really liked what they do. And he always tells me if he were to go to college, mm-hmm. he would have been a mechanical engineer. So at a very young age, he influenced us to be an engineer. Me personally, I chose mechanical engineering. My brother is still an engineer, a chemical mm-hmm. engineer. But the day-to-day interaction, after a long day at work, he comes home and he tells us what mechanical engineers do, what his job entails, and his interaction with the mechanical engineers. Mm-hmm. So he really played a big role in me pursuing mechanical engineering.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a similar relationship with your mother?
Yes, I do. So both my mom and my dad, they didn't go to college. My mom, she did not even get any formal education. She was a housewife and mm-hmm. she raised us kids. But I think she also understood the importance of education. So there was big emphasis from both of them. But mm-hmm. I had a very, you're the product of the people that play a role in your life. And mm-hmm. one of them is my mom as well.
Yeah. Moving on to your career, were there any challenges that you faced early on in your career or life that shaped who you are today?
That's a very good question. I think one challenge as a graduate student, didn't have much. I guess graduate school is very different from undergrad. Mm-hmm. Most of the things you learn by making mistakes, but even the mistakes you learn a lot from failed experiments. That's my journey altogether. And when I started my position as a professor here, it was during COVID, mm-hmm. and it was very challenging given the nature of my work is experimental, and I didn't have students working in the lab because of the shutdown. So it was really challenging not having the productivity that you'd like to see in your first year and the inability to get the lab up and running for the first year. So that was one of my biggest challenges as when I started my profession.
So you'd say COVID was probably like a really big obstacle you had to overcome?
Yeah, it was a very big obstacle in the first year. Just to give you how big that was. So typically all my work requires working in the lab. And on my first year, I admitted two students, and the two students that I admitted into my group were from China, and they were not able to come here, and I can't do experiments remotely. So it was very challenging for the first year. They eventually came after a year, and things started to normalize.
How do you think your background has influenced the way you conduct your research or you teach?
It's really hard to pinpoint the influences that individual interactions played in the way I teach and the way I do research. But overall, I tell my students all the time that experiments, chances are you're not going to get the results you want the first time. It's okay to fail and to try again. And then, as I mentioned earlier, even from failed experiments, there are opportunities to learn from the mistake and do it better next time. So I think it's very important to be persistent in research. And those things are, I learned them the hard way by making errors and improving on my own. So having a mentor would really help in that process. And therefore my research and teaching, like generally, I used to play a role of participating in those processes when the students are struggling doing experiments. I try to instill this idea that even from the failed experiments, you're gaining some knowledge that's going to help you improve in the future.
Yeah.
So I try to play a role, a positive, instead of just demanding results and see the final outcome, I would like to participate in the process of their learning. And that reflects in the classroom as well. I always tell in the classroom, the first thing, probably when I start a semester, I tell them there is no wrong question. You're here to learn. And when you don't understand some things, you should ask questions. And importantly, you should put more effort. If you don't get it the first time, if you persist, you can understand the fundamental concepts moving forward.
Looking back, is there a moment in your life that you believe marked a turning point in your career?
I don't think there is a turning point. I think, so at an early age, my dad emphasizing how education is important. And even at a very, very young age, I knew that I wanted to be a mechanical engineer. Part of it is, I think I like doing things by hand. And as a young kid, as a small kid, I also wanted to make my dad happy. I want to make him proud. So it was just in me. And when I go to college, I think because of all those preparations, I did well in school. And so starting from like first, second year, I knew that I wanna go to this profession, to academia. And so it was this, there is no turning point that I can point my fingers at, but I knew where I was heading at an early stage.
What do you think is the best aspect of your current career path?
Well, the best aspect of my career, I'll tell you that it's the fact that you can pursue the science that you want. I think the good part about this job is if you have an idea, all you need to do is to convince someone This is a federal agency or private institutions, companies, to invest on that idea, and you see it to fruition.
Yeah.
So that those kinds of flexibilities, or what they call this kind of freedom, it's not available in industry if you're working in industry. So the nicest part of being a professor is, if you have an idea, if you believe that that's going to work, you'll find the money to do the work and prove that the idea works. So that's the most exciting part of this job. So as a professor, you need to find the money and do the work. And the work, typically, graduate students and postdocs, they do the work. You guide and administer the work. So it's a very good job overall. One component of my work is teaching, interacting with young kids like yourself, teaching them in a classroom. They're energetic. They ask a lot of questions. Those interactions mean a lot. And then I think the most important part is playing a positive role in those people's life. I sometimes get letters from students who I taught 3-4 years ago, and they're not in Michigan anymore. But they send me emails. That those emails, they make my day. I think having that interaction, having that community, and knowing that you play a positive role in someone's educational journey, that's a very rewarding job.
Yeah. And coming to the conclusion of this interview, what advice would you have to give to your younger self?
Good question. That I would say. So even when I was young, when they teach, when you take these math classes, science classes, I think looking backwards, what I would say for the young kids is those classes, the geometry classes, the trigonometry, the calculus, pre-calculus, algebra classes that you learn in your high school, and even in elementary school, those are going to be the foundation for your future. So pay as much attention as possible. I know it's very hard. It's at a very young age, and it's very hard to see how that's going to help you in the future. But those are the skills that will help you do well in college and even beyond college when you start working either in industry or in academia. And so for the young kids, my message is those classes, the ideas that they teach you in elementary and high school are going to be very useful and foundational for your future.
Why do you think education is so important for the youth?
That's an excellent question. I guess I would say being in the know is always a great thing. If you have a good education, well, you can get a good job. That's one. Technology is advancing very fast, and therefore high school education might not give you the skills that you need to understand the technology. And so going to college and education generally is important to understand the world that's increasing in complexity. Things are changing very fast, becoming more complex. So for us to understand that, you have to be equipped with the education to be able to understand them. And on a personal level, I think education is, this is how I see it. When you get more education, when I go to graduate school, I used to convince myself that every day I'm adding value onto myself. The more education you get, the more knowledge you gain. As a student, that's your job. As a student, your parents start taking care of you. And every day you go to school, you ask yourself, what new things did you learn today that you didn't know yesterday? And if you can answer, if you can articulate that one, you see that value is added onto you. And so education in general does that to you. And it's a great thing to understand the world around us.
Yes, it truly is a privilege to be able to be in like a college town like this and have that sort of education.
Exactly, yes. And especially in a college town like this one, people that you meet at the bus stop, at the grocery store, the casual conversations, those are enriching conversations. It's every day from those interactions you learn and add value to yourself and improve on who you are. Mm-hmm. And therefore those are great privileges to have.
Yeah. And for a final question, do you have a message you'd like to say to our audience?
And thank you for making me a part of this great program, and thank you, Kayla, for reaching out to me. It's been a pleasure.
No, thank you.